want to talk today, why the wilderness? You know, it talks about in 1 Corinthians 10 that all these things were for our example, you know, for those of the last generation. So all the things that happened in the wilderness. And why the wilderness? Why did Yahweh send the children of Israel into the wilderness? And one thing before we start that I'll mention that I find very interesting. Every year at the Bible school, I get a very big revelation from Yahweh, a big lesson personally in my life. Every year he's shown me something. And this last year, the lesson that I learned was don't leave the camp. You know, that there's protection in the camp. And when you look in the Bible, like with Dinah, you know, the daughter of Jacob, when she left the camp, you know, she ended up getting into trouble. But when you're in the camp, you're protected. You know, you have the walls around, you have the watchtowers, you know, and there's protection in the camp. And I was just thinking about that now during Unleavened Bread. Because as long as we're in the camp, you almost don't even know it's unleavened bread. You don't think about it. There's no leaven around. It really doesn't come into your mind. But when you leave the camp, like yesterday when we went to Yad Vashem, then you have to really be cautious. Because maybe, oop, that cookie, oh, wow, I can't eat it. It's unleavened bread. Or, you know, I got to watch this. So it just was another lesson showing me. You know, like today when we go around, you got to be careful if you're eating something or if you're near something to make sure it's not leavened. But when you're in the camp, there's protection because there's safety and unity. And the wilderness, as we're going to see, is pretty much the same. You know, that the reasons why the Father took them to the wilderness. First, I'll go over some scriptures about that and then get into the main two reasons on why the Father took them into the wilderness. Number one, to sanctify them from the world. And number two, to get complete reliance on Yahweh. So, I think one of the biggest problems today, when you look on the congregation as a whole, not particularly our congregation, but when you look at believers on a whole, there's a lot of chaos out there. And it can only be by the hand of Yahweh, because I don't see it. I don't see it in our personal congregations. I don't see it when I travel. Again, 90% of our congregation are foreign bound, you know. But I don't see the disarray. I don't see the disunity. We hit it here and there, you know, as human beings. But whenever I go to a congregation, without fail, as a matter of fact, I can't even think of one time where even the elders will share with me, you know, how do you do it? Because, wow, we have within our congregation itself, within the people coming, you know, there's all these heresies coming, there's all these troubles, and they can't keep a unity. And it's because people are not staying in the camp. I said this several years ago. I said, one of the biggest ways that I know for sure we're in the last generation is because of the internet. That the internet has changed the congregation. Because unless you get a congregation that everyone makes a vow to each other, that they will not look on the internet for, you know, other doctrines and surf, like they call it, inevitably, every heresy, there's some like we talked about here that you never heard about, like maybe the leavened bread, but it will come. There's other ones you may know of that I didn't hear about. But as long as you're going on the internet and surfing, matter of fact, I found that a lot of even people, when they're doing their searching, like if I said, hey, so-and-so, do a message on this, what do people do? They go to the internet and they look it up. I can tell you, every now and then, if someone gave me an assignment to do a message on Second Temple Judaism, I'd have to go to encyclopedias or something because I don't know about it. I could pray, and maybe the Holy Spirit would divinely give me some of that information. I doubt it, but it could. But I could say 90% of my messages, I only go to the scriptures. I read the scriptures, and literally, as I'm reading, in my mind, the Holy Spirit will say, go here, and I'll hear it. I'll hear, go to this one. I'll write it all down, and then I'll try to put it together in some kind of way. And that's the way it should be with all of us, because I don't have any different spirit that's different than you. Your study should be in the Word. And the other things, I do use concordance, I do use lexicon, because you're looking up a word that's there. That's why I love the interlinear, because it's right there. And before our Bible translation came out, you know, 95% what I was reading, and I would try to read it in the Hebrew and see the English underneath it, and then as a word pops out, you know, words would highlight, like and Thurman, like, ooh, look at that word. And then you look it up to see what it is. And then Yahweh will lead you to other parts of the Bible where you see the same thing. But today you don't see that. You don't see it. What you see is that, number one, in most congregations, there is absolutely no respect anymore for leadership or elders. Most people don't even believe in them. You know, I've had people tell me, elders are only older people in the congregation. which is utterly ridiculous, you know. Because here it is, Paul is telling Titus, you know, to go all around in a time where there's not airplanes and there's not, trams and all these things, to go to all the congregations ordaining elders. So he's got to go everywhere saying, you're old. It's totally illogical. And we know from 1 Timothy 3, there is a strict requirements for elders, and there are elders. But that's what it is. Because people, what they don't want is they don't want judicial order. They really don't want judicial order. They don't want to be told what to do. And of course, because we're in the Laodicean era. And Laodicean means ruled by the people. That people want to rule themselves. And it's scary because you know what? It ain't going to be that way in the kingdom. I can guarantee you 100% there will not be one Laodicean in the kingdom. Because how on earth, just like the Bible says, how can we love Yahweh, who we haven't seen, if we don't love our neighbor who we have seen? And we could say the same thing. How could we submit to Yahweh, who we haven't seen, if we can't submit to the leadership that we do see? You know, and the leadership is set by him. You know, and we know that because of the doctrine. And of course, we have free will. We have to choose which leadership we're going to follow. We don't blindly just follow. The same with our tithe. Even though the tithe belongs to Yahweh, when he puts it in our hand, we have to decide where that tithe will go. But it's got to go somewhere. It doesn't stay in our pocket. You know, so that's our personal choice that we have to be led by the Holy Spirit to do it. But it's a scary thing, and this is what we're seeing, the result. And like I said, I'm a very logical person. Stand back and look at the result. You'll know them by their fruits. And when you stand back and look, you know, me and Andy were talking about this a little while ago. We said, if 30 years ago we were to say, hey, you know what? In a few years, there's going to be something that's going to come out in technology that is actually going to be at your fingertips 24 hours a day. Whenever you have a question, you could just find the answer. And there'll be more. You could find more Bible study notes and more aids and all of this stuff. And now, when somebody gives a sermon or says something, you don't just have to believe it. You can immediately check the facts. Everybody would say, would that make the congregation stronger? Is that going to make more truth there? And we'd all say, yeah, of course. Well, now we could look back 10, 15 years from it, and it hasn't. It's actually brought more disarray, it's brought more heresy, and there really are no checks and balances, you know, because again, anything can be put on the internet as long as you know how to type a little code in there, and you can put it up without any credentials, without any doctorates or PhDs or educational or anything, you know, just that nobody even knows a lot of times. Who is this? Who's putting this up? Most of the time, the people don't even put their names on it, where it's coming from. So when you're looking at it, it's part of the protection that the Father gives us. And that's part of the wilderness. You know, and as I'm going to talk about today, there is a physical wilderness. I'm going to start with showing that. Without a shadow of a doubt, Yahweh, in the end, takes his people the same as the children of Israel went into a physical wilderness for 40 years. Fortunately for us, it's not going to be 40 years. But it will be for a time period that at least some, you know, that are around at that time will be taken to a wilderness. But again, as we'll see, in the society we live in, at least in Western society, it's impossible to go from the lifestyles we have to the wilderness. You know, just like some of you were making mention when we were sharing, what did you see with the wilderness? And that was one of the first things I saw. I think it was Vikas that said it. When I thought of the wilderness, I'm thinking of like a sand like in Iraq and going across this sandy thing and just miles and miles and miles of flat land with nothing around. But that's not the wilderness here. The wilderness here is high mountains, rocks everywhere, dust, and not just dust from sand, but dust from the rocks, and constantly getting in your eyes and everything, and windy, and in the nights very, very cold, and during the days, you know, maybe 45, 50 degrees Celsius or 120, 130 degrees Fahrenheit. And it's a very different type of wilderness, you know, where the desert type wilderness, you don't really see much of anything. Where these kind of wildernesses, you could see animals to a degree sometimes, ibex and different things. Don't know how many wild animals they were seeing there, but certainly scorpions and other type of things like that. So there has to be a change. There has to be a time that the Father gives to mentally prepare for that. And that's really the time we're in now. And that's why he's breaking down organized religion. And it's everything from the Catholic Church to the congregations that Yahweh may have used for years in building truth. But he is breaking down organized religions because Yahweh's congregation is not an organization, it's a spiritual organism. And he may use organizations for a time, for a purpose, But at the same rate, when those organizations disprove themselves, then he won't use them anymore. But his spiritual organism that started with Yeshua will continue till when he returns. And that's why it's so important to be listening to the Holy Spirit and be leading with it. So let's start in Ezekiel 20. And let's see a scripture in this. This is now an end time scripture. Verse 34. He says, "And I will bring you out from the people and gather you from the lands in which you were scattered among them, with a mighty hand and with an outstretched arm and with fury poured out." So this is where he's talking about when everything will be breaking down. And then Yahweh will gather the people out of their nations. And he says, "And I will bring you into the wilderness of the people, and I will be judging with you there face to face." So the wilderness is a time of purification. And that's why he's got to take it away. He's got to take away all of the worldliness. He's got to take that away. Because like we said yesterday, you got to be sanctified. You have to be set apart. And that's one of the reasons why he takes us to the wilderness. Song of Songs, or Song of Solomon. Song of Solomon, the third chapter. In verse 6. And again, a beautiful book is the Song of Solomon. When you study it, it's all about Mashiach and his bride. It's a really, really awesome book. There's a lot of hidden jewels that are in there. Great book for Bible study. And it shows the bride of Mashiach before she goes into the wilderness with her impurities and how she purifies herself through the wilderness and comes out ready for the wedding supper. So it's a really great book. But chapter 3 and verse 6, "Who is this who comes up out of the wilderness like columns of smoke, sacrificing his incense, myrrh, and frankincense from all powders of the merchants?" So who is this that comes out of the wilderness? You know, the bride is coming out of the wilderness. Chapter 8 and verse 5, same book. Again, we see, "Who is this that comes up from the wilderness, leaning on her beloved? I awakened you under the apple tree. There your mother travailed with you. There she travailed, she bore you." Just like we see in Revelation 12, you know, you see the mother being about ready to give birth, and again, the woman also in Revelation 12 being taken to the wilderness. Being taken to the wilderness. Matthew 24 and verse 26. "Then if they say to you, 'Behold, he is in the wilderness,' do not go. 'Behold, he is in the inner rooms,' do not believe." So we know not everybody's going to make it to the wilderness. Not everyone's going to make it there. And in the end time, you know, when the congregation is taken to the wilderness, what's going to happen? Some of those that don't go are going to be wondering, where is it? And they're going to be trying to find it. And he's saying, don't go. You know, that's what I say. I come from an organization that maybe they still believe it, some of their offshoots. But they used to say that Petra, the place in Jordan, the city of rock, was going to be this place. And the one thing that's funny is maybe 50 years ago, it was pretty much a wilderness. Today, it's about as commercialized as you can get over there. You know, which is ironic, but hey, it doesn't have to be at that time. Who knows? But there's nothing I've seen scripturally that would prove that Petra is the place. But this is what the people thought. They thought they were going to just live their life and, you know, be part of the world, and one night we're going to get a phone call from the leader of the organization saying, go over to the airport, and everyone's going to fly over there and, you know, live happily ever after. But unfortunately, it doesn't work that way. And this is what's going to happen. When Yahweh takes his people to the wilderness, the ones who were not preparing, that may be left behind and are going to go through tribulation, they're going to try to get there. And what I always said was, you know, there's actually even brethren, not connected with us, but other brethren that are living there. They're camped out near Petra. You know why? Because when this happens, they're going to be there one way or the other. And I always say, if you look at Babylon, the commandment to Babylon is to come out of her. You're commanded. You have to. We're going to read it in a minute. But the wilderness, they're taken to the wilderness. The person is taken. So if I'm not accounted to be there, I don't want to be there. As we're going to read, the same as the wedding supper with the one that didn't have the garment on. I'm not going to trick Yahweh. I'm not going to somehow all of a sudden sneak in with the other people and he doesn't realize I'm here. I'm going to put maybe on a wig or something, or dark sunglasses, and I'll get in. It's not going to work that way. So in that day, exactly like it says here, that when the congregation is taken there, people are going to try to figure out, where are they? We want to be there. And he says, don't go. You know why? Because that's exactly where Satan will deceive you. And if you don't prepare now, it's not the end of the world. It almost is, but not the end yet. But what will happen is you're going to have to go through tribulation. And that's why I always say, it's just like I say, leaving Babylon, there's three plans. There's the Abraham plan. Abraham got up and go. He gets up and go. And Abraham was blessed that he took all his family, took all his riches, he took everything with him. Then you have the Lot plan, you know, or actually before that you have the Israelite plan. The Israelite plan was, you know, remember, like now, they went in haste. You know, their bread wasn't able to rise, but they still were able to pilfer the Egyptians. They were still able to take things with them, but they had to hurry. So not as good as the Abraham plan, but not so bad. The worst plan is the Lot plan. You know, that's the $99 plan. That's the one we could sell you, you know, the cheap one. But the Lot plan is get out now or die. You know, and as we see from the scripture, the Lot is not so good of a plan. So again, I've been preaching this for many years up to the brethren to prepare. But the bottom line is human nature wants to know, when is it going to happen? I'll prepare 5 minutes beforehand. You know, it's just like in school with tests, right? You know, you always wait till the last night before the assignment, and then you cram all night. You know, it's our human nature. But human nature is what we're trying to get rid of, you know, because it's not Yahweh's nature. And you have to prepare now. You have to prepare now. And that's why I say, like our motto at our Bible school, Hayahat, it's raising the bar. You know, that we want people to elevate to the next level. If you want to stay at the status quo, you're not going to make it in these end times, because this is a different time than ever has happened before. And we have to be able to elevate ourselves. So the people who don't prepare, if that day comes, you know, then you're going to have to face the reality of it. You will go through tribulation, maybe martyrism, maybe imprisonment, whatever it is. But at least if you purify yourself, you'll still make the kingdom. But to a lot of people, they'll be so feared, and because they haven't been building faith, they'll wind up taking the mark of the beast and they'll kid themselves that it's not it. Well, it's not that, it's something else. Well, Yahweh wouldn't want me to starve to death, or Yahweh wouldn't want my children to starve to death. But clearly from the scripture, we see that after the people go, they'll be saying, you know, he's in the wilderness, and people will try to get there. And he says, don't believe it when they say these things. Matthew 22, go back a few chapters. It's the parable, like I was saying, from the wedding feast. And answering, Yeshua again spoke to them in parables, saying, the kingdom of heaven is compared to a man, a king, who made a wedding feast for his son. And he sent his slaves to call those being invited to the wedding feast, but they did not desire to come. Again, he sent other slaves, saying, tell the ones invited, behold, I have prepared my supper. My oxen and the fatlings are killed and the things ready. Come to the wedding feast. But they sneered at it and they went away, one to his field and one to his trading. And the rest, seizing his slaves, mocked and killed them. And hearing, the king became angry, and sending his armies, he destroyed those murderers and burned their cities. Then he said to his slaves, indeed, the wedding feast is ready, but those invited were not worthy. And it's scary to me, being in the faith for 32 years, and seeing that 32 years ago, most of the believers that Yahweh would call came through organized religion, because there was no other alternative at that point. And now, as organized religion has broke down, and many, many hundreds of thousands of new people that Yahweh is calling that are coming to the faith that never were part of this organized religion. And where are all those people from 30 and 40 years ago? They're not taking the wedding invitation. Some of them have completely fell away. Some of them went back to Christianity. Some are just bitter and angry. And we see it here. You know that the wedding invitations have already gone out. Who are accepting them? Then he said to his slaves, indeed, the wedding feast is ready, but those invited were not worthy. Then go into the exits of the highways and call to the wedding feast as many as you may find. And going out into the highways, so slaves gathered all, as many as they found, both evil and good. And the wedding feast was filled with reclining guests. And the king, coming in to look over those reclining, he saw a man not having been dressed in the wedding garment. And he said to him, friend, how did you come in here not having a wedding garment? But he was speechless. Then the king said to the servants, binding him hand and feet, take him away and throw him to outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen. So like we said yesterday, sanctification is everything. Sanctification is everything. If you're not sanctifying yourself, if you're not purifying yourself and getting that white wedding garment, you're not just going to walk in there and defile the rest of the people. So as we'll see, the first point we're getting in here, clearly, the wilderness is a way to sanctify us from the world, taking us into the wilderness. Now, the spiritual wilderness is a bridge out of the world to the real wilderness. It's a bridge. So the point is not to just live your life normal, like you do in the world, and then when you get to the real wilderness, you're not going to be able to survive. It's in the spiritual wilderness to one by one be getting rid of those things that you're not going to have in the wilderness. It's a way to sanctify yourself. So again, in the wilderness, there'll be no houses. Israelites had no houses in the wilderness. There's no TV. There's no air conditioning. There's no heat. There's no refrigerators. There's no washing machines. Ladies, unfortunately, there's no makeup. When we left the States, we left with one family that we were preparing. We thought it could be 10 or 15 years. And this lady actually brought 10 years worth of perms. You know, had a big box of 10 years of perms. Because, come on, you know, when we're in the wilderness, you know, you're out there, you don't want to come out without your perm. But that's the point. I say, the whole thing of life is between these two ears. Satan is trying to get to your mind, and Yahweh is trying to get to your mind. And what is it going to be? And as long as you're not sanctifying yourself, then it's already over. Satan already has you. But again, no heat, no refrigerators, no makeup, no toilet paper. You know, start getting used to the leaves. Wash machines, toilets, water, food. So again, it's not just the overabundance of things, deodorant and those kind of nice things, but food and water. Remember the Israelites. Why did they murmur? You know, if you went, you were out there. I don't know if this happened to you, but the day we were in that wilderness, when I came home that night, my mouth was so dry. One of the reasons were all that dust gets into your mouth, and it was so dry that I can imagine if I went 3 days without water there, you know, I'd probably be a little angry too. So it wasn't that they didn't have reason to, but they had every reason not to. Because if Yahweh takes you somewhere, and Yahweh's saying, trust me, then there's no reason to complain. But in the wilderness, the same thing may happen. Because Yahweh's got to test each of us. He's got to test us, and that's what the wilderness is about. And if you can't make it through the spiritual wilderness, you'll never make it through the physical wilderness. If you can't make it now, like it says in Jeremiah, if you can't run with the footmen, how will you run with the horses? You know, you've got to prepare. Take advantage of this time. And this is the time that you have to in your mind. Like I said, physical things are one thing, but also spiritual-wise. That there's spiritual things we're all dealing with. It could be anger, covetousness, lust, greed, selfishness, gossip, whatever it is, you have to deal with it now because you know what's going to happen? We just read it with the wedding supper. If you don't deal with it now and somehow you get to that wilderness, you're going to be destroyed. We already saw it. We already saw Korah, 14,000 sucked into the earth. I actually was to that place where that happened. And they know it because the earth is still uneasy at that point. They've done scans and you can see the cave under there where all that stuff came into. And with Geiger counters, it just went off the chart with the gold and the silver and all the stuff that's in there. And it's going to happen again. Like I said, we're not going to walk into the kingdom and trick Yahweh. And that's why how much grace and wonder and blessing He has on us that He's giving us this time now. And that's why, praise Yahweh, that the end didn't start already last year and it didn't start today. But who knows? Who knows what's coming tomorrow and next week and next month? We are getting close to this. And it could be a few years. It could be even, only Yahweh knows the time. But at the same rate, it will come. And we don't want to be caught unaware. So we must prepare now while we have the time. And if you're preparing, it gets easier. I've had somebody tell me that was coming into the truth. And they said, wow. You know, Don? They said, this is really hard. And I said, I got to be honest with you. It is. I'm not going to lie to you. But you know why it's hard? Because you went 50 years of your life going the wrong way. I said, but I can tell you this. Every day you walk toward Yahweh from here, it will get easier. It'll get easier. Because every day you're walking in the truth is one day you're walking away from the world and life does get easier. Because we don't have to deal with all the things that the world is dealing with. We deal with our own things, but it's not as bad. So when you're going against Yahweh, yes, life is going to be hard. And that's why the spiritual wilderness, by having this time to freely give these things up. And that's why I say, I mean, face it, you know, we have a website. I'm not against technology, But control yourself with it. And make sure you're using it for the good and not for the evil. And if you can't control yourself, get rid of it. And it could be anything. We've talked about this. Even coffee or tea. All things are lawful to me, but not all things are expedient. All things are lawful. I will not be controlled by any. And if there's anything that you're addicted to, if there's anything that you have to have, get rid of it now. Because you ain't going to have it in the wilderness. You know, you're not going to have it in the wilderness. So it can be it's innocent. Tea is good. It's a great thing. But if you can't go a day without tea, or you're getting massive headaches if you go a day without tea, get rid of it now. Don't wait for the time where that idol is going to come back to bite you. You know. So the spiritual wilderness is a bridge out of the world to the true wilderness. And like I said, the first point is, why does Yahweh do this? The first point is to sanctify us away from the world. Revelation 18 and verse 4. It says, I heard another voice out of heaven saying, leave the land of her, my people, that you may not share in her sins and that you may not receive of her plagues. Some translations put, come out of her, my people. Literally, it means to leave your land to go abroad. But I have a message I did many moons ago called Change of Heart Before Change of Land. And changing your land is no magic pill. You know, leaving, it doesn't matter where you're living, if you're living in America, or you're living in Europe, or you're living anywhere, just leaving a place is no magic pill. Now, sometimes moving can be good because it breaks your pattern. I told somebody this one time that was counseling with me about alcohol addiction. I said, okay, let's try to figure out what's the problem here. What happens? Well, you know, I wake up, I go to work, I'm coming home, I have to pass the store, and I can't help myself. I stop in, I get a six-pack, and I get drunk. Okay, you know what? Let's do this. On your way home, don't come that way. Come around the block. If I go around the block, there's a liquor store in that corner. Okay, you know what you got to do then? You have to either move out of your block, move out of your town, move out of your country, or go to the moon. But one way or another, you stop the addiction or you will not be in Yahweh's kingdom. Oh, give up my job. Oh, I really like it. We have a clothes store here that I really like shopping at. And it's not real enough to people. Many of us coming from Christianity, that false grace is still in our mind that somehow Yahweh will work it out and we'll all live together and hold hands and sing Kumbaya. It's not going to work that way. You have to overcome. You have to overcome. And we see Yahweh's mercy and His grace that we're here. That even in our defiled state, while we're working on it, we're here and He's still working with us. And He says He will work with you until the day Yeshua Messiah returns. But there are no promises after that. Which means we have to overcome. Seven churches in Revelation 2 and 3. Five of them are told, repent or else lose out on the kingdom. And that's why He's giving us the spiritual wilderness. He's working with us. And His Spirit is strong and we can break down every stronghold. But we have to choose to do it. We just can't go day and day doing the same sins, staying in the same worldliness and wrong patterns and thinking somehow in the end it's all going to work out right. It won't work that way. We have to make those choices in our life. And that's why He's given us this time. But I'm telling you, when the bottom falls out, just like 9-1-1, we were in America that year. We were doing a tour to our congregations in the summer. And that was right after the Intifada broke out here. And everywhere we went, people pleaded with us not to come back to Israel. Some told us they had dreams that, you know, I was going to be killed and I was going to be chopped up by Arabs and all this other stuff. And I said, hey, it's the feast. We're going up to Jerusalem. I said, what a better way to die than be chopped up at feast time and spread all over this land. You know? Maybe my plane will blow up all over the promised land. My foot will be in Jerusalem and my hand will be in Galilee. Yeah. But the interesting part was, when 9-1-1 happened, people were going crazy trying to contact us. Don, how do we get out? What do we do? Going crazy. The same ones that were telling us, please don't go. And I'm telling you, when the bottom falls out, you will see panic like you've never seen before. And that's why now is the time to build the faith. Now is the time to get rid of the idols. Now is the time to build faith in Yahweh alone. Now is the time to really understand what the wilderness is about. The first thing you have to do is sanctify yourself from the world. And it starts by getting rid of the paganism. That's the very beginning. So that's the way we start. You know, we may burn down our Christmas trees. You know, do all these things that we do. I had a friend, it was a funny story, when he came into the truth. And we were reading Jeremiah 10, showing the Christmas tree. They cut this tree out of the wood and they deck it with gold and silver. So he came home and he told his father, he said, that, look at that green tree. That's paganism, you know? This is pagan. The father's thinking, oh, maybe he's right. So he comes home the next day, and he has a white fake Christmas tree. So he kind of missed the point there. It's not the color of the tree. It's the idolatry that comes with it. But that's the beginning. And we all start somewhere. And that's the beautiful part about conversion, that Yahweh comes to us. He comes to where we're at, but then he's trying to pull us to where he's at. And you never want to stop. You never want to stop that road. That's why we continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Master Yeshua Messiah, and we become ye perfect as Yahweh is perfect. So you can't just stop at the paganism. You can't just stop at this or that. You know, now you have to get inside. Now the next thing is, once you get those little idols out of your life, you have to start going inside and seeing what really makes you. Working against your pride, working against your self-righteousness, really checking yourself. Do I have enough love? You know, do I have peace and joy and patience? And whatever it is you might be lacking in those nine fruits, that's what you want to work on. You want to be praying to Yahweh. You want to see what is holding you back from having that. If I don't have enough faith, what is the reason that's stopping me from having faith? You know, and you want to work on these things to build them up. But it all comes by sanctification. That you need. We read 1 John 2:15. I won't go there. Love not the things of the world. For those who love the things of the world, the love of the Father is not in them. For everything that's in the world, you know, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And whoever loves the things of the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So we want to make sure that, and especially now, if this was written 2,000 years ago, how much more now that they're pushing homosexuality and abortion and New Age and all of these things, how much more now should we want to stay away from this wicked, evil world? You know. So, number one, like we said, the first point of the wilderness is sanctifying us away from the world. Matthew 10. Matthew, the 10th chapter. In verse 37. The one loving father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And the one loving son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take up his staff and follow after me is not worthy of me. The one finding his life will lose it. And the one losing his life on account of me will find it. So now, does this mean we totally forget our family? No, of course not. But remember, Yeshua said to the man, when he told the man, come follow me, and the man said, let me go bury my father. It didn't mean the father just died. What it meant was the father was older. And, of course, according to the Torah, honor your father and mother. That's one of the Ten Commandments. So it wasn't not to honor the father and mother, but what did he say? You know, those who put their hand to the plow and turn back are not fit for the kingdom. Let the dead bury their dead. You know, I had this situation with me. I have two parents. My mother died now, but that I love to death. But unfortunately, you know, they're not in the truth. So although I fulfill my commitment in caring for them, I make time each year when I go with my family. I turn everything off for that week, and that's my time with them. But then when the week's over, it's back to the work of Yahweh. So there's a time for everything. There's a time to be born. There's a time to die. But if you're putting any element, children, parents, friends, work, sometimes people, their work is their idol, whatever it is, then you're not ready for the wilderness. You have to get any physical form out of here. And then, like he says, the one finding his life will lose it, and the one losing his life on account of me will find it. Everything we do, our job should be doing something that's saving life, not taking life. You know, we have to work. It doesn't mean we quit our job and we hide in a corner somewhere. But the work we do, even our physical work, should be something that's giving life, not something that's taking life. And many times when you come into the truth, you have to change your career. It happened to myself. And I was a young man at the time. And I was in a partnership with my dad and my uncle. And I just thought, you know something, I need to get out of here. So me and another brother in the congregation were thinking of, we want to go into a business together. And we sat there for 6 months because we were thinking, oh, you know what? How about daycare? It's a great business. You could help the children. Many parents need it. And then we said, can't do it. It's against Yahweh. Yahweh's way is for the parents to raise the children. So even though there's a need there, how could we ask Yahweh's blessing on something that doesn't follow him? And at the end of the day, we wound up going into landscaping. We thought, wow, what a great business. You go somewhere, you can beautify the land, you can help widows that don't have money to pay, you know. But we wanted to do something every day that at the end of the day we felt like we were beautifying the world and not destroying it. And something that we could pray to Yahweh and we could ask His blessing and He would give it to us. And I can tell you, I did it for 15 years. I come from an area in the northeast that the weather is very erratic. We get rain all year long. And I can honestly tell you, in 15 years, I never got rained out once because of Shabbat. There were days where it rained Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and we had to work real hard the end of the week. But it never rained for 2-3 days in a row at the end of the week where I lost my work. Never happened. You know, because we would pray to Yahweh and we would ask Him. We would ask His blessing to help us with that. So we want to make sure that even our life, you know, even what's most important to us should be what's important to Yahweh. And I tell this story years ago because to me, my idolatry was sports. I started playing when I was about 4 or 5 years old. I had many scholarships and I loved it. I loved doing it. And of course, I came into a congregation that was mimicking the world instead of them. So what did they have? In the world, we had the sports and they changed the sports, but it was the same thing. And then I could coach, I could referee, and I could do the same things. So I enjoyed football, American football. It was one of the things that I liked. I played it. I enjoyed it. And I used to justify to myself, you know, like the Pharisee and the tax collector. I work all week. I pay my tithe. I help the poor. I do all these things. You know, tell me the sin. Show me in the Bible where it's a sin that on Sunday, you know, that I watch football all day. But then Yahweh put in my mind, don't ask if it's sin. Ask if it's holy. And I got a whole different answer. I looked that day at the TV and I saw a bunch of grown, big, heavy men whacking each other. And I said, this is ridiculous. This is ridiculous. What good is it? What does it do? He hits him, he hits him. You know, and then at the end of the day, whoever wins, they do the same thing next year. There's no lasting fulfillment to it, you know. And it's not something that was holy in Yahweh's eyes. And I'm thinking, wow, the time I'm wasting here could be doing something productive. And that's the key to it. And that's why sometimes you need the wilderness. And I know something. Because of my addiction to sports, it ended when I left the States because there was no way to even watch it if I wanted to. But I don't know. Maybe if I never left America, maybe I wouldn't have been able to overcome that addiction. But my point is, whatever is causing you to sin, if your hand offends you, cut it off. You have to get rid of the source of your addiction. Whatever is causing you to sin, you have to get rid of. So whether that means, you know, if the addiction is really bad, like in this case, leaving the land that you have no access to it, or getting rid of your TV, or whatever it is. But whatever is causing you to sin, you have to get rid of. The Israelites could not see this. They lusted back for Egypt. You know, can you imagine in the horrible situation they were in slavery and everything else, and they lusted back for Egypt. Luke 9 in verse 62. Luke 9 in verse 62. But Yeshua said to him, no man places his hand upon the handle of a plow and looks backward and is useful for the kingdom of Elohim. And we know this from the parable of the seeds in the field. You know, there's seed that goes on the rocky road, and these are people you talk to and they seem really interesting, and then all of a sudden they won't answer the phone anymore, you know, because there's no root to it. There's no root. And then there's other people that actually, you know, they're real zealous for it, you know. Some of them maybe even get baptized. And then whatever, the first thing in life or the first care, because they're not deeply rooted, what happens? They start to fall away. And that's why the Emphasis Church is told, do you still have your first love? You know, do you still have your first love? When you found out about Yahweh's truth and you were so zealous and excited and you're just overjoyed where you can't sleep at night, that wow, you know, you're going through your whole life with all these lies and deceptions and He's opened your mind now to His truth and His word. And how is it maybe 3 years, 5 years, 10 years down the line? You know, when I've had people that were 15 years later say, the Bible just doesn't interest me anymore. Oh, I've read it already. Oh, I know it all. And it's like, wow. How could you say that? How could you say that? So you don't want to turn back once you put your hand to the plow. Your spiritual life, your family, all these things should be growing. They should be growing. There should be a greater fervency of serving Yahweh. It shouldn't be less. You can't look back to Egypt once you get in the wilderness. Once you get in the wilderness, you can't look back to Egypt. And that's why I say all the little technological things we have today. You know, like Paul says, use them but not possessing them. Use them but not possessing them. You know, we're not Amish. We don't have to say we won't drive a car or we won't do this. But you want to use them without possessing them. You don't want to make it where you can't go without it. And certainly you don't want to look back to Egypt. Isaiah 30. Verse 1. Woe to rebellious sons, declares Yahweh, to make counsel, but not for me, and to weave a covering web, but not of my spirit, in order to add sin to sin, who are walking to go down to Egypt, but have not asked in my mouth, to take refuge in the stronghold of Pharaoh, and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. And the stronghold of Pharaoh shall come to shame you, and relying on the shadow of Egypt shall be a disgrace. 2 Peter talks about it like a pig going back to the mire, to the mud. The same way. We don't want to be going back to the things. You know, did you become a believer and all of a sudden you got rid of all your worldly music and then 5 years later you're starting to listen to it again? Same with movies. Maybe you put all your bad movies in a box or things that were so worldly and stuck it somewhere. Now all of a sudden as you're doing your spring cleaning, you find it. And now you find yourself watching things that you gave up when you became a believer. And if you do, it's showing you, you're not coming out of the world. You're not coming out of the world if you're doing that. We have to look forward. Let's go to Hebrews 11. Verse 6. But without faith it is impossible to please Yahweh, for it is right that the one drawing near to Yahweh should believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. So again, point number two, we want to get complete reliance on Yahweh. First thing is sanctification, coming out of the world. The second thing is complete reliance on Yahweh. And one goes hand in hand because as human beings, I always say this, whatever you focus on becomes most real to you. And every new believer hits this at one time or another, where all of a sudden, there's a time where you're feeling really, really a lot of faith. It might even be being here in Israel. Because you see it, you're seeing the places and you're so full with faith. But then as human beings, you know, we're not spirit. We have the down payment of the spirit, but we're not fully spirit. All of a sudden you may be somewhere else and you may be with somebody who has no faith or somebody who is trying to convince you that it's all untrue. And then all of a sudden, just for that one split second, you're thinking, wow, is this right? You know, what did I do? You know, and then you got to just get rid of that very, very quickly. Because as we see, Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it is impossible to please Yahweh. For it is right that the one drawing near to Yahweh should believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. So that's where the Satan society, which is a facade, you know, you can't have it both ways. You cannot be relying on all these things of the world, these false premise of this false security, and have faith in Yahweh. And I always give the example, I say, sometimes people will trust more in the worldly, in the physical, than they do in the spiritual. And I give the example of the electric company. That if you got a notice in the mail that said, May 28th, we're going to shut your electric off. Like I say, without fail, May 27th, you're going to be in that office paying that. And what does that show? You're showing faith in the owner of that electric company that he's going to perform what he said he's going to perform by shutting off your electric. Now, I asked everybody. I never found one person who could tell me who owns their electric company. Yet at the same rate, they have faith. Why do you have faith? Because it's happened before. You know when that notice comes, you either pay or he's going to shut it off. And yet we don't show the same faith in Yahweh. Because when Yahweh's word says something, sometimes we doubt. Sometimes we waver. But very clearly it says here, it is impossible to please Yahweh without faith. Because all faith is admitting He exists and admitting that He rewards people who seek Him. That's all it is. So that's why I say in the flesh, yeah, the more you're unsanctified, the more you're part of this facade of the world, the more these things come in your mind. And the double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And I've met people like this before, that they can be 20 years in the faith and it's always the same thing. One day they're really strong, and the next day they're questioning, but how do we know Yahweh's really going to protect? The next day they're strong, the next day, how do we even know if Yahweh's really there? The double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And it's because of worldliness. It's because they're not separating from the world. And like I say, every song you listen to, that's not centered around Yahweh is going to take you away. Everything you watch, everything you read, every person you're with, everything you're doing. And that's why you should be trying to center yourself around Yahweh and His people 24 hours a day. You know? You want to make sure everything that's happening with your family, you know, that it's being done through prayer, through study, that everything is uplifting, that everything is teaching you something, drawing you closer to Yahweh, because it's not a game. You know, we say that. It's not like a light. Yahweh's not, you can't flick Him on and off. You feel His presence, and He's real to you by an ongoing living lifestyle of being close to Him 24/7. That's the way He's real to you. But if this is a weekly thing, you know, that, well, you live your whole life for the world, you're doing all these worldly things, and Saturday morning you put on your little suit and tie, and then you come in, you put your Sabbath face on, you smile for everybody, and then you go back to the world again for 6 more days. It ain't going to work. And this is reality, because now the world is in the facade. And we're living in the facade. But one thing is certain. I don't know if it's 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years. But when the facade ends, when the kingdom comes, we're never going back the other way. And that's why it's a burned wilderness behind, but it's the Garden of Eden before. You must believe it. You must believe every word of this book. And that's why I'm here. I told it on the Knesset floor fervently with all my heart. That I said, I'm here because I believe in these promises. And I tell them, do you know how I know it's true? Because you're here. And if you're here, then I'm coming. Maybe not today. They have the ability. They can put me out of here. But one way or another, I'm coming and you're coming because the Bible says it. In that day, I will be Elohim of all 12 tribes of Israel. And I will gather all of Israel from the four corners and bring them back to the land. So if Judah's here, what would make us guess? That's a miracle in itself, but it's also proof to us in faith that we're next. But you have to believe it. You have to live to it. You have to live to it because it's the only real reality. And the rest of it is all the facade. And I say, think to yourself sometimes and ask, what will be left here when the kingdom comes? It's one of the things I always say to people when they're asking, you know, should I change my job? Should I change my career? And I say, is your career giving life or taking life? Is it something that will be here when the kingdom comes, or it's something that won't be here when the kingdom comes? You know? And you really have to think about it. We need to be moving forward toward that kingdom every day and coming out of the world. And by doing that, when you sanctify yourself, you have to have that reliance on Yahweh. We learned the hard way. We left America because America was Babylon. We had no idea what we were getting into. What I thought I had faith, being 16, 17 years in the truth, the scariest part of leaving America was when I realized I had no faith. I had no faith whatsoever. And it scared me to death. Because I lived under this balloon of a facade. And when I left that balloon, when I left the system, I didn't realize that there was nothing there. And wow, did Yahweh had to put us through a quick course in learning faith. But He's merciful. And like I said, He came to us where we were. Ground zero. Nowhere. But day by day, you know, where we're praying for food, and all of a sudden, as soon as you're done with your prayer, who's that? It's a neighbor not even speaking your language with a bag of food or a thing of fruit or something. So, well, thank you, Yahweh. And then when it happens the second day and the third day, and it's like, hey, is it going to happen today? And as you're praying, you're shaking, I hope it does, and it happens. But when that happens day after day after day, then you expect it, and then you know it. And that's all faith is. It's just believing Yahweh at His word. But if we're part of the world, you're going to have this pseudo-belief that you think is a belief. And like I said, all these things are nice stories in a room, but the reality is when you get out there. And the reality is, what if you're in a prison camp tomorrow? Is that going to shake your faith? And like I say, if I wind up in a prison camp tomorrow, then in my mind I got to think there's somebody in here that Yahweh wants me to talk to. And that's where you got to pray and find out who it is. Because you talk to the wrong guy, your head might get chopped off. You have to be led by the Holy Spirit every day of your life. And that's what the wilderness teaches you. Because you can't hear that in clutter. Remember Eliyahu? You know, he didn't hear Yahweh's voice in the wind. He didn't hear it in the fire. He didn't hear it in the earthquake. He heard it in that small, still voice. That small, still voice. And that's one of the reasons I don't like having headphones. Number one, it's not good for your hearing to have those headphones on all the time. But if you had headphones on all the time, even if it's something good you're listening to, you can't hear. You've got to be able to hear that small, still voice. And that's why meditation is so important, as important as prayer and Bible study, you know, and fasting is meditation. You need time where you can go off somewhere by yourself and just really, really let Yahweh talk to you. Let His Spirit talk to you. It could be a prayer closet. It doesn't have to be somewhere, you know, up in the country, but it's got to be quiet. You know, and that's the problem in this society. One of the things that Satan has deceived us with is clutter. There's clutter everywhere. So what happens, you know, is you're trying to meditate and hear Yahweh. You know, you have this going on here, and you have this going on here, and you're hearing a mosque over here, and this going on here, and it's like, ah! It's clutter. You have to make sure you could hear Yahweh's voice, and the wilderness brings it. Drop down to verse 8. Having been called out by faith, Abraham obeyed to go forth to a place which he was going to receive for an inheritance. And he went out not understanding where he went. By faith he resided as a foreigner in a land of promise, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, and joint heirs of the promise. Many people say to me from Babylon, where do we go? Where do we go? Whenever somebody asks, I always go to Jeremiah 16. When they ask where to go, this is what you tell them. Those to death, those to famine, you know, those to pestilence. You know, you go wherever he's going to lead you to go to. You're not leaving Babylon for a better place. You're leaving Babylon because Yahweh says to leave. Abraham didn't ask, where do I go? He said, Abraham, get up and go. And Abraham left by faith. You know, 7 direct commandments. I don't know if there's anything in the Bible that has more direct commandments than leaving Babylon. Because it's going to be life or death. And we're already seeing it. Because many people that didn't see it as life or death have already failed away. And now, once you do that, then you're really lost. So you want to make sure that when Yahweh calls, you're hearing it. For he looked forward to a city having the foundations of which the builder and maker is Yahweh. See, Israel looked back to Egypt. They looked back to the onions and the leeks. But in the wilderness, there are no cities. In the wilderness, it's just you and Yahweh. It's just you and Yahweh. We're not to build a foundation in this world. That's what he wants us to leave behind. He wants our foundation to be on him. That he is our refuge, our high tower of strength. That's what he wants from us. He wants us to totally rely on him. You know, I've had people that were sick, and they ask for anointing, and you anoint them, and 1 second after anointing, they're talking about, you know, a doctor or medicine, and I'm thinking, you don't believe you're going to be healed, which means you're not going to be healed. You have to believe it. It's not just a ritual we do. Literally, Yahweh says, those that are sick, come to the elders for healing. And if you believe it, you'll be healed, because it's not the elder. The elder is just a judicial order. It's your faith that will make you whole. And I've seen it with my eyes. I've seen miracles like you can't believe. There was one time when I first became a believer, I accidentally, scalding hot water, I had ants on the back step, and I had boiled scalding hot water. It fell on my foot. Immediately, it bubbled up like anything. What's the first thing I did? I called the elder for an anointing cloth. While I was on the phone, and he was praying on the phone, all the bubbles left my foot immediately. I mean, you must believe. You must believe. You know, Yahweh is a healer. Part of Yeshua dying, yes, for the penalty of our sins, but part of it is for our earthly healing. You know that he says that. By his stripes we are healed. And we have to believe in that. It doesn't mean that we can't get medicine from a doctor. And that's why I always say the first thing you want to do is find out what's wrong. You should go to a doctor. Find out what the problem is. But then let Yahweh handle it. And sometimes it could be through a doctor or an operation or a medicine. Sometimes it could be a miraculous healing. We don't tell him how to heal us. But we believe the healing is coming from him. You have to believe that. Because without that, if he's not our healer, then again, what are you? You're right back to trust in the system. Trust in the system. So I've seen people that go in the opposite way, and they think it's faith, that they won't go to a doctor, they won't take medicine, they won't touch herbs, and that's self-righteousness. Because when I pray to Yahweh, I'm not going to tell him how to answer my prayer. I simply tell him what the need is. I don't have to tell him how to do it. He knows better than I do. I tell him what my need is, and I let him provide. And whatever that provision is, that's what you're going to go by. And like I said, it's always different. Healing is one of the things in the Bible is there is no ABC. It's simply trust in faith. And then in all different situations, we see sometimes where someone dipped in water 7 times. We see other times where someone was miraculously healed. We see other times where it took a little while. Even the one story that really mystifies me is when Yeshua put the mud and put it on the man's eyes. Was he healed? Not at first. He said, what do you see? I see men walking as trees. So he's seeing it blurred. And then he touches them again, he's healed. So the key is, though, trust and faith. And then leaving the rest up to Yahweh. And this is all part of the wilderness. Because in the wilderness, we're not going to tell him how to provide for us. We're simply going to tell him what we need. You tell him what you need, and he will provide. Verse 13. These all died by way of faith, not having received the promises, but seeing them afar off and being persuaded and having embraced and confessed that they are strangers and pilgrims on this earth. For those saying such things make clear that they seek a fatherland. And truly, if they remembered that from which they came out, they had time to return. But now they stretch forth to a better, that is, a heavenly land. Therefore, Yahweh is not ashamed of them for him to be called their Elohim, for he prepared a city for them. And that's what we're looking forward to. I've seen people come here to Israel, and Israel's a great place to be. I hope I'm here till the day the Messiah comes, or the day I die, whatever comes first. But I certainly would not give my eternal life for it. And I've seen people convert to Judaism. I've seen people totally give away their faith. This is not the goal. The earthly Jerusalem is not the goal. Great place to visit, but it's not our eternal inheritance. Our eternal inheritance is the heavenly Jerusalem that's coming down with Yeshua. So you don't want to sacrifice your eternal life for anything. For anything. And sometimes we can be blinded by our own ambitions that may start out good. You know, being here in Israel and doing this work, that's a good ambition, as long as it's Yahweh's ambition. But Yahweh knows better than all of us. And if it's not his ambition anymore to be here, you know, then you're not going to try to stay here by hook or crook. You're not going to do anything you can do against his will to do it. In faith, we have to be able to take his answer. And sometimes that answer is no. Yahweh always gives an answer. People say this, I'm praying, I'm getting no answer. Might be no. Or it might be wait. It might be wait. Many times I have seen this, where we're praying for something, we don't get it right away, so we wait. And then all of a sudden, maybe a week, 2 weeks, a month goes by, and then we get it. Could be something as simple as needing an iron. The iron breaks. We're not going to run out and just buy an iron. We don't have the money for it. We'll wait, and we'll wait. And when the time comes, Yahweh will provide it. And then maybe you'll find it in the secondhand store. You know, it's the only time an iron ever came. Or whatever it is, you have to wait on him. You have to wait and let him go before you. Or maybe he'll provide the money to buy the iron. Whatever it is. But you want to make sure part of the wilderness is you don't go before Yahweh. Let's read about that. Numbers 9. In verse 15. And on the day that the tabernacle was reared up, the cloud covered the tabernacle, even the tabernacle of the testimony. And at evening there was on the tabernacle the appearance of fire until morning. So it was the cloud covered it and the appearance of fire by night. And whenever the cloud was taken up from the tabernacle, then after that, the sons of Israel pulled up stakes. And in the place where the cloud abode, there the sons of Israel encamped. By the mouth of Yahweh, the sons of Israel pulled up stakes, and by the mouth of Yahweh they encamped. All the days that the cloud remained over the tabernacle, they remained in the camp. And when the cloud tarried over the tabernacle many days, then the sons of Israel kept the charge of Yahweh and did not pull up stakes. And when the cloud was over the tabernacle many days, by the mouth of Yahweh they encamped, and by the mouth of Yahweh they pulled up stakes. And so when the cloud was there from evening until morning, when the cloud was taken up in the morning, then they pulled up stakes. Whether by day or by night, when the cloud was taken up, they pulled up stakes. When Yahweh moved, they moved. Didn't matter if it was in the middle of the night. Whether 2 days or a month or days, when the cloud tarried over the tabernacle to remain over it, the sons of Israel remained in camp and did not pull up stakes. And when it was lifted up, they pulled up stakes. By the mouth of Yahweh they encamped, and by the mouth of Yahweh they pulled up stakes. They kept the charge of Yahweh by the mouth of Yahweh by the hand of Moses. Wow. So it shows us in our life. Are we waiting on Yahweh, or are we going before on our own? When the cloud moves, you move and you wait. You pray to Yahweh, you wait for his answer. He taught us this. I was telling you many lessons he taught us when we were in Honduras. And one lesson he taught us was, living in America, whenever we had gas, You just turn a little button, the gas comes on. Never saw these little tanks like they have over here in Israel. First time we saw it was down in Honduras. So when we got our tank of gas, we said to the man, well, how long do these tanks last? He said, well, you know, if you don't use it that much, maybe 3 weeks. If you use it a lot, maybe 2 weeks, you know, depending on what your usage is. So we had a family with us. I think they had 8 children. So we're using it pretty much. And all of a sudden, a month went by. We said, well, it's kind of strange. The gas didn't run out yet. So then all of a sudden, 2 months went by. We said, wow, that's really odd. The gas isn't running out. By the third month, people are coming to our house, knocking on the door. Do you have the, you know, the tank? They're hearing about this all over the village, you know, this miracle tank. The fourth month, the fifth month, the sixth month, the tank never ran out. The night before we left, the tank ran out. Night before we left, went to put on hot water or something, poof, the tank was gone. Yahweh moved, we moved with it. Had the same thing happen with the washing machine. When we lived in Cyprus, we had to do all our clothes by hand, which is not easy for sheets and big towels and all the other things. I didn't know it. We were on our way to a Bible study, but Petra had been praying for a washing machine. Can't blame her. And all of a sudden, next to the garbage dumpster, there was a washing machine. Somebody was throwing out. She said, that's my washing machine. I know it. I've been praying for it. I said, come on. I said, nobody throws out a washing machine. And we're living on the second floor with no elevator. I think, boy, if I got to lug that upstairs, I want to make sure it works. So I said, I'll tell you what. Let's pray. We'll go to the study. If we come back, then it's yours. We came back. It was there. Hooked it up. It worked perfect. It worked perfect for almost 3 years. And again, the night before we left Cyprus, it stopped. Our landlord was asking for it. You know, we were going to give it to her. And it just stopped working. You have to look for those signs. When the cloud moves, you move. When the cloud moves, you move. You know, that Yahweh goes before us. And that's part of the problem, is that, remember what I said, you have to die to yourself, which means you have to build the self-control to let Yahweh go before you. Revelation 14. Revelation 14. And I saw, behold, the Lamb standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, with the name of the Father having been written in their forehead. Verse 4. These are the ones who had not become defiled, for they are pure. These are the ones following the Lamb wherever he may go. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruit to Yahweh and to the Lamb. They follow the Lamb wherever he goes. You've got to let Yeshua go before you. And that's why I say to people sometimes, you know, I had one man who was thinking he was going to witnessing to people on a nude beach. You know, he wants to save these poor people. You know, yeah, okay. You know, come on. I told him, you go on that beach, you better be sure the Holy Spirit ain't going with you. Same thing I've heard people tell me in bars. You know, well, I want to go in the bars. We want to save all of the people in the bar. But you go into those environments, you're going without the Holy Spirit. You're leaving him behind. But the people of Yahweh, they follow the Lamb wherever they go. They follow the Lamb wherever they go. So you want to make sure in your lifestyle. And this is why you have to be sanctified. Because if you're not sanctified, you're not going to see it. You know, you're not going to see the Spirit, you know, like in one of those movies or something. But literally, all of a sudden now, when the Spirit of Yahweh isn't with you anymore, what's going to happen? You're going to go back to human nature. Just like Saul. You remember when Saul... When the war came, and all of a sudden, Yahweh wasn't talking to him anymore, and he panicked. And instead of repenting and trying to go to Yahweh, what did he do? He goes to the witch of Endor. He goes to a demon, you know, and the demon tricked him. So we want to make sure we are going before Yeshua, and we're following the Lamb wherever he goes. And you have to be sanctified. You cannot have worldliness around you and think that Yahweh's Spirit is going to lead and guide you. It's so important. Psalm 107. Psalm 107. Start in verse 1. Give thanks to Yahweh, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of Yahweh say so, whom he redeemed from the hand of the foe, and gathered them from the lands, from east and west, from north and south. They wandered in the wilderness in a desert way. They found no city of dwelling. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. And they cried to Yahweh in their distress. He delivered them from their straits. He guided them in the right way to go to a city of dwelling. Let them thank Yahweh for His mercy and His wonders to the sons of man. He satisfies the thirsty soul, and He fills the hungry soul with good. Drop down to verse 35. He puts the wilderness into pools of water and dry lands into water springs. And He makes the hungry live there, and they may prepare a city of dwelling. And they sow the fields and plant vineyards and make fruits of produce. He also blesses them so that they multiply greatly. And He does not allow their cattle to diminish. But they are diminished and bowed down from coercion, evil, and grief. He pours scorn on nobles and causes them to wander in a desert. There is no path. But He raises the poor up from affliction, and He sets families like a flock. The upright shall see and be glad, and all iniquity shuts its mouth. Whoever is wise and will observe these things, they shall discern the mercies of Yahweh. Wow. So we see. Yahweh's going to care. Yahweh cares for His people in the wilderness. That Yahweh will provide everything. Deuteronomy 2 and verse 7. Says, for Yahweh your Elohim has blessed you with all the work of your hands. He has known you're walking through this great wilderness. Yahweh your Elohim has been with you these 40 years. You have lacked nothing. One of the biggest questions that come up in America, that people say, how can you survive outside of America? What are you going to do about health care? What are you going to do if you need glasses? What are you going to do if you need shoes? Read the scripture here. For Yahweh your Elohim has blessed you with all the work of your hands. He has known you're walking through this great wilderness. Yahweh Elohim has been with you these 40 years. You have lacked nothing. Many times we go to places and people ask, what do you need? We want to help you. And I can say physically we lack nothing. We lack nothing. Whenever we do need something, Yahweh puts it in the heart some way to get it to us. But we lack nothing. He's provided for us. When we lived in Cyprus, I mean, we were bone dry at that time. The way He provided was, we started finding money in the streets. And it started to be pennies, would be equivalent to pennies and nickels. Next thing you know, it's coming to dollars and bills. On average, for close to 3 years, we were finding about $100 to $150 a month. Every time we went out of the house, we'd find money. It was unbelievable, but that's the way He provided for us. And we used to say, the covenant continues. Because in America, I worked. I always worked from the time I was young. But when we left the States, He said, you work for me. You work for me, and He's provided. He's provided all our needs. He's blessed us in anything that we put our hand to just about. And He'll care for you. He does. He does care for you. See, this is the problem. When you're asking questions of, what do I do without health care? What do I do if I get a toothache? You lost the point. You're right back to the world. What you're saying is, I can trust in Satan's system because Satan provides me all these things. What did Satan say to Yeshua? Bow down and worship me and I'll give you all the stuff of these kingdoms. You know? But we see the Israelites were 40 years in the wilderness and Yahweh provided. And this is the difference between life and death. You got to believe it. You must believe every day of your life that Yahweh will provide. Because without it, you're done. It is impossible to please Him without faith. For those who come to Him must believe He is, and He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. And that's what I said right away leaving America. I said, if it's only about money, if only the rich can leave America and survive, then America's not Babylon. We're missing the point, because the whole point of Babylon is the riches. It's the oppression of the poor. The point is trusting Yahweh. Trust in Yahweh and He will provide. And the ones that are here, there's some that have been here for close to 3 years, they can say the same thing. Do we lack anything? You know, it's unbelievable sometimes, some of the blessings that He gives us. It's unbelievable. The things we find, the stuff we glean, you know. The school, I always like it when we'll come home with two people carrying a big thing of bananas, you know, that we find in the field. And it's like, Yahweh's provision. Yahweh's provision. He's done it before. He'll do it again. But we must believe. Okay, I got to hurry. We need to be ending here very quickly. Deuteronomy 29. These are the words of the covenant which Yahweh commanded to Moses to cut with the sons of Israel in the land of Moab, beside the covenant which He made with them in Horeb. Shows you where Mount Sinai was, in Moab, not in Sinai Peninsula. And Moses called to all Israel and said to them, you have seen all that Yahweh did before your eyes in the land of Egypt, to Pharaoh and to all his servants and to all his land. Your eyes have seen the great trials, the signs, and those great miracles. Yet Yahweh has not given to you a heart to know, and eyes to see, and ears to hear until this day. And I have led you 40 years in the wilderness. Your garments have not worn out from you, and your sandals have not worn away from your feet. You know, so even miracles happen. I always share with the brethren sometimes. I'll say, you know, this sweater I have on? This sweater is 25 years old. Or this jacket is 20-something years old. So I haven't had a pair of sandals yet that is that old. My sandals wear out pretty quick, within about 3 years. But I have clothes that look brand new that are more than 20 years old. You know, and Yahweh does provide. Yahweh does provide, but we have to believe. Isaiah 43 and verse 18. He says, do not remember former things, nor consider the things of old. So you want to forget about the things you came from. You want to look toward the things you're going. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall sprout. Shall you not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness, rivers in the desert. The beasts of the field shall honor me, jackals and daughters of ostriches, because I give waters in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, to give drink to my people, my chosen. So when we get to the wilderness, Yahweh will care. And I believe it again. He says it. I'll read it here in Isaiah 48. Water will once again come out of the rock. Manna will once again come to his people. It may not be the same manna from then. It may. But he will provide. He will provide for his people in the wilderness. Excuse me. Verse 20. Go out from Babylon. Isaiah 48:20. Go out from Babylon, flee from the Chaldeans. Tell this with the voice of rejoicing. Let this be heard. Let it go out to the ends of the earth. Say, Yahweh has redeemed his servant Jacob, and they did not thirst. He led them in the deserts. He made waters flow out of the rock for them. And he cut open the rock, and water gushed out. So very simple. But you have to believe. You have to believe, as he did it before, that Yahweh will care for his people once again. The same as he rained manna, and everything else that he did. So again, we see we are in the Laodicean era. We see that we are in the last generation. We see that Yahweh is breaking down organized religion. And we see that he is bringing his people to a spiritual wilderness in preparation for a physical wilderness. And the two main reasons, like we said, we need to sanctify ourselves from the world, and we want to make sure we get complete reliance on Yahweh. Yahweh bless.